Who are the people that you have looked up to or admired in your life? Are the people that you have sought to imitate or people you have sought to learn from? They might be experts in a particular field that you hope to be like. They may be chefs, musicians, sports people who you wish you could be more like. They may be someone you hope to learn from, like a scientist or a teacher or a journalist. They may be someone who simply entertains you, like an actor or a comedian. Or maybe they're not a person that you look up to and admire. Maybe it's an organization. And you aspire to that organization's hopes and dreams and goals. It could be like the work of Compassion, seeking to make poverty history. Perhaps it's the McGrath Foundation, seeking to support breast cancer patients, or Beyond Blue in their mission to support good mental health in society. And these organizations, of course, can only do what they do when people follow them, when they join their cause and partner in their work. And of course, while some organizations want you to follow them and support their work for the benefit of humanity, of course, there are other organizations that simply want you to follow and support them so that they make some money. McDonald's wants to entice your children to come back regularly to get the next toy in the Happy Meal. Or Coles and Woolworths with their never-ending collectibles, where they hope that you might return frequently to collect the next set of toys for your children or grandchildren, or maybe yourself. I know there's a couple of you, I'm sure. But in the end, isn't every organization, every company, every individual who wants you to follow them, they will do all that they can to show you why it is worth it, why you should follow them. And they will try and convince you that they have the solution to whatever problem you may face. I mean, endless Coca-Cola ads want you to believe that if you drink Coca-Cola, you will open happiness. And of course, so many of their ads show people who are simply having a good time who happen to be drinking Coca-Cola. Or many of the recent ads for Jeep try and convince you that your life is pretty boring, but if you owned a Jeep, you would have endless adventures going who knows where in the world. But the truth, of course, is that none of these organizations and none of these people can live up to the claims they make. And they can't live up to the expectations that we might place upon them. They can't provide the eternal happiness they might promise. And even a good goal like ending poverty or supporting cancer or mental health issues, they're worthy of pursuing, but we may never be completely accomplishing our goals in those organizations. And that really raises a question for us. Who or what is worth following? Who or what is worth following? Is there such thing as a person or an organization that won't let us down? And today's passage really provides us with an answer. If you've got a Bible, please have it open at Luke chapter 5. Chapter 5 really represents a turning point in Luke's gospel. The first four chapters that we've looked at over the last number of weeks, we've discovered who Jesus is and what he has come to do. In the past couple of weeks, we've looked at Jesus' mission, what he began to do in the world, and what he continues to do today through the work of his Holy Spirit. But in chapter 5, the attention turns to us. What does it mean for us to partner with Jesus in his mission? How and why would we follow him? If last week we asked the question, what do we expect from Jesus or of Jesus? This week's question is kind of the reverse. What does Jesus expect of us? What does Jesus expect of you and I in following him? Let me give you the answer, and then we'll unpack it from our passage. The answer is this. From our passage, we see that Jesus has an authority that he expects you and I to share. Jesus has an authority that he expects us to share. Let us explore that in this text this morning. In verses 1 to 3, we see that Jesus has an authority to speak, to draw a crowd around him. People want to hear what he says. In fact, in this story, so many people are gathered around to hear Jesus that he has to hop into a boat and push out a little from the shore just so he can see everyone and they can hear him. And notice that Luke says in verse 1, he says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. The crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. Yet Jesus' words are not just interesting theories. He's not just a good storyteller. They are not only words of wisdom or advice. They are words of God. It is so clear to the crowd that Jesus speaks with an authority that they have never seen before. His words have a power they have never heard before. And they recognize that Jesus has an authority to speak that carries the weight of the very words of God. And Luke doesn't even tell us what Jesus said to the crowd. But it is very clear that it has real power and authority. In verse 4 then, Jesus decides to take a little fishing trip. But it's not a fishing trip to have a break from teaching. But Jesus has been speaking and teaching to the crowds, and now he takes a moment to speak to Simon and James and John in a specific way. Jesus tells these fishermen to get back in their boats and push out into the deep water and let down their nets. In verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. Can you imagine how Simon is feeling? He's probably very tired. He's hungry. Frustrated at the lack of catch through working all night. Simon's been fishing all of his life. He's an expert fisherman. He knows where the fish are. He knows the locations to catch them, the best ones. He knows the best time to catch the fish. And even he, after a whole night of work, could catch nothing. And now here is a carpenter man who has no experience in fishing, who tells them to go out and try again. Now, it would seem entirely appropriate for Simon to say to Jesus, No, Jesus, we've been doing this all night. We know what we're doing. We're fishermen. What would you know? You're just a carpenter. But Simon doesn't do that. Last week, you may recall in chapter 4, Simon had just seen Jesus heal his own mother-in-law by rebuking a fever. In today's story, Simon's been sitting in this boat next to Jesus, hearing Jesus speaking to the crowds on the shore. Now, Simon has both seen and heard the authority that Jesus has. And Simon realizes that even though Jesus has no experience in fishing, he's a carpenter, he still has an authority that is worth respecting. Now, for a start, Simon calls Jesus Master, a sign of respect, recognizing his authority. And then, of course, Simon obeys Jesus. Verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Imagine Simon wondering, where were all these fish last night? We've been here an awful long time. It's a really powerful example of Jesus' authority over creation. He controls even the fish in the lake. Now, you might expect Simon to be overjoyed by this experience. Instead, he says something quite remarkable. Verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What would you do if you were Simon in that moment? Well, you might ask to see another miracle. "Jesus, let's just go put these fish back on the shore. We'll bring the boats out. Let's see if you can do this again." Maybe you'd think about making a business proposition to Jesus. Imagine if he joins your fishing company, you are pretty set for life, aren't you? But Simon does none of these things. Instead, he has a realization that Jesus has such an authority that he speaks the words of God, that he even controls fish in a lake. Surely Jesus is too good for me to be in his presence. I'm not worthy to be in the company of someone with such authority. Jesus is showing here his authority over people. Imagine if Prince William rang you up this afternoon and he said, I'm just in the country and I'd love to come to your house for a visit for dinner tonight. I mean, maybe if Prince William's not your thing, you're not a monarchist, maybe Taylor Swift or somebody else pretty significant in the world. How would you feel if they invited themselves or asked to come around for dinner? You might be rather excited by the prospect of meeting someone quite famous or important. But you might also be wondering, why on earth are they calling me? What have I done to deserve this? I'm no one special or important. And that's kind of what Simon is feeling in this story. Only Jesus has infinitely greater authority than someone like Prince William or Taylor Swift. And he is so infinitely more aware of how unworthy he is to be in Jesus' presence. But Jesus shows one more aspect to his authority, that he has authority over people, authority to call people to follow him. And they do. Jesus responds, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The fisher people become people fishers. Can you imagine how powerful and authoritative Jesus' words must have been for Peter just to drop everything to follow Jesus? I mean, Simon Peter and James and John were fishermen, and they would certainly have been working in their family businesses. Matthew and Mark's telling of this story makes that quite clear. And yet, at the invitation of Jesus to follow him, they drop everything. They leave behind their family, their livelihood, all their earthly security. They leave it all behind to follow a man who has spoken and acted with such authority that they consider this is absolutely worth giving everything else up for. Jesus has that kind of authority. Jesus has an authority that he expects us to share. See, in this story, Jesus is showing Simon, James, and John, and he's also showing us that sinful and unworthy people like Simon are exactly the kinds of people that Jesus has come for. He comes to invite us to partner with him in his mission, to make the good news of Jesus known throughout the world. See, the call to follow Jesus is to be a missionary to the community that we live in, to be a missionary to the world. Jesus expects us to share the news of his power and his authority, to tell the world that we know someone who has authority over fish and birds, someone who has authority over storms and fevers, authority over disease and sickness, authority over death and life. The call to follow Jesus is to become people fishers, to compel people with the news that Jesus has authority over all creation. Think about the way that your unbelieving family would view your life, or the way maybe your neighbors would see your actions, or the way your co-workers might see your attitude. Would they look at you and think, "Ah, gee, they must know something about life that I don't know. They don't react to hardship the same way that I do. They don't seek revenge the way that I do. They don't gossip the way that I do. They are noticeably generous. They're incredibly thoughtful. They always apologize when needed. They admit their mistakes. They're open about their shortcomings. They clearly aren't interested in people-pleasing. They have a hope that defies their circumstances." What would they think? Now, we're not seeking to be perfect ourselves. We're not perfect. But we point to the one who is perfect. And we show the effects of his authority over all creation, over all people, by the way that we live more like Jesus. The call to follow Jesus is to become people fishers, to be the kind of people that are attractive in the way that we live. Like bait on the end of a fishing line is attractive to a fish. To draw and entice people by the way that we live to come and hear and experience the goodness and mercy and kindness and authority of Jesus. See, here is a man who had no Facebook account. He had no Instagram followers. He never wrote a book. He never had a family. He never went to university. Never had his own TV show. Never led an army. He never did anything that we would normally associate with power and authority and influence and greatness. But Jesus has such an authority that 2,000 years after he died, more than 2 billion people alive today claim to follow him. That is incredible. That is such great authority. So who are the people that you admire in your life? Who are the ones that you look up to, that you seek to imitate, to learn from? Following Jesus is more than admiring him. Following Jesus is more than looking up to him. Following Jesus is more than imitating him and learning from him. Following Jesus means recognizing his authority, hearing his call on your life, and becoming a missionary in the community in which you live, in which you work. Following Jesus means we share his authority by becoming people fishers ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for amazing stories like this that Luke has recorded for us, that we might clearly see the wonderful, powerful authority that Jesus has. Father, please help us to be captivated by Jesus' authority and to see the wonderful good news that it is. And help us then to share Jesus' authority to the world around us, that we might live and speak and act in such ways that we make the news of Jesus compelling by the way that we live, that we show how wonderful and gracious and kind and loving Jesus is. Please help us to do that. Amen.